That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. We're back on the air live from the City of Heroes. Well, how about from Paragon Radio? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is I, Pogo Man, from the Virtue Server. And along with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, one-third of the leadership team of Paragon Dawn. He is the one, the only, Mad Viking.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening to you, sir. You know, I still get goosebumps from that song.
Now, if we could only find a flash animator, and you know, then we can put that, you know, like a visual ad for Paragon Radio Podcast.
Oh, that would be cool.
It's like you flying around these several superhero games and probably Boop on your shoulder.
That's right. Leaping or jumping around the city. Nah, I'd be flying with Boop, yeah. Be flying somehow. That's right, because it's Pogo Man and Boop Boy.
Yep.
Wee. In our cardboard armor suits of power.
Hey, he made it personally, you know.
That's right. I know. That's what we sat there all night coloring those things with crayons and Crayola.
Yep.
And those 128 color variations of crayons we did.
He even used the crayon sharpener.
That's right. We had to for some of them. And we had to use several of the same color. If you, what am I trying to say? You know, some of those colors we had to use a lot of the same one. You know what I'm trying to
say.
The
red mainly. Was it the red or
the
blue?
I think the blue. Well, mine has a lot of the blue.
Okay.
So.
Yes, we got to find a way to put a picture up. We got to find a way to put a picture up so people get the idea of what we're talking about. Champions, yeah. One of the costume pieces is cardboard box armor.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you one way to see it. If you show up at DawnCon 3, I think, once again, Bogoman and Boot Boy will give a photo opportunity of us in our cardboard armor.
There you go.
Got to show up. I
yep.
know, so we'll announce some official time for that. That we will stand around. And we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
At some point.
All right. Now, don't mind me here if I skip a little bit here. I had to jump out of Champions because I had to install Flash. And it was like, you know, 10 minutes before the show, it was like, wait a minute, let's speed this up a bit.
And I want to apologize to some people. I did not promote the show till this morning. I had to go see my doctor yesterday, gave me some painkillers. I've been suffering from migraines, and it was about 11 o'clock this morning. I realized, oh, hell, I didn't promote the show yet. So I was scrambling to do it this morning. Like, I got to get done before noon. At least I can say I did it before noon, right? That's something. I was like, oh, man. I was like, this sucks. All right. I'm standing here. I want to thank Divinity. And I think this Titanee is joining me on the steps of City Hall and beautiful downtown Atlas Park and beautiful Paragon Chat.
Titan knees?
They are really tall, man. I think my character is like 6'2", 6'3", and they are just overshadowing me. I think I barely come up to their shoulder pads.
Well, hold on. I think I might know that other one here. I got to jump out of the one to get out of the other.
Sheesh.
But right now on Champions... we have Ghost Captain doing his show at Rensen Blimp.
Hey, Ghost Captain.
Renaissance Center Blimp 1 at the time of this recording. If you're listening to this on Dawn Radio, just pay attention a little later on, and that's when you'll be able to hear Black Magic. There, covered both days.
There you go. You know, I was a little disappointed with Cartoon Network tonight.
What happened?
Well, you know, Teen Titans Go, they do their new episode at 6 p.m. Fridays now, which isn't bad. You know, they do that on time, but then they said followed by a new episode of Powerpuff Girls. So I set the DVR and checked the schedule. No, it was supposed to be on 6:45. No, they did their rerun of the Teen Titans Island Adventures from this summer. Well, that's 5 episodes. I know it takes an hour to show it without the commercials. They condense it down to like a full hour. Like, they could show all 5 15-minute episodes in an hour. They condense all the BS out of the way, and they condense it down to an hour. So I'm like, well, what the hell? And then they show some more Teen Titans cartoons. I'm like, well, what's going on here? and I went in the other room for dinner. I'm like, tell me I should set the DVR for like 7:45. Sure enough, I walk in the room at 7:49. That's when they show the new episode.
Yeah.
It's like, son of a... But they didn't show it. That's not when they advertised. They advertised it for 6:45. And I'm like, Cartoon Network, what are you guys doing? Now you're misleading everybody.
Because, silly question, but I've seen it happen before. Did you hear that 6:45 in the form of Central?
No. It was 6:45 Eastern. Because everything else was on
schedule.
Okay, I wanted
to be sure.
But there were a few other things screwed up with their schedule today on Cartoon Network. Like, instead of there being other episodes, like, usually they do a cartoon marathon of Teen Titans Go when they're going to have a new episode on. They showed a movie, Diary of Wimpy Kid, like one of those movies. And I'm like, huh?
Evil.
Yeah.
Evil.
Like, yeah. And this morning they were going to show Scooby-Doo and the WrestleMania Mystery. I was like, ooh, I'll watch that. Because I haven't seen it yet. Nope, that's when they showed the first. I'm like, what? Like, this ain't Scooby-Doo. What? So I was like, whatever.
You can't even blame the time change because everything sounds like it's 1 hour back, and this Sunday it's 1 hour forward.
Okay, and that's funny because the episode for Teen Titans Go was Daylight Titan Saving Time, and they were talking about Daylight Saving Time. And that's what they were dealing with.
Well, that's what I mean. Can't even count that because, you know, by the sound of it,
they were
concentrating on fall back, not spring forward.
Right. I mean, this was, I don't know what they were doing, but I hope they show it again this weekend or maybe next weekend they'll do something. And I'm sure I can go on demand during the week and catch the first couple of minutes of it, but. Still, it was just ridiculous. They dropped the ball today with their schedule.
Yeah.
And I'm an adult with patience. Can you imagine being a little kid going, what? Where's my Scooby-Doo? Because my nephew, it turns out, my brother's 10-year-old, loves Teen Titans Go. So can you imagine if he was here and go, Uncle Rich, what's going on here? I'm like, I don't know, pal. I don't know what's going on here. He would have flipped out.
Okay. Well, let's see. Does it look like there's any visible updates for Paragon Chat as I am loading in? I did not see a changeover.
Oh,
but I will mention what's happening this week. Huh?
Well, we did have snow in real life today.
Oh, well.
Well,
all I got was like a fraction of what they were advertising up here.
We got the snow here, but it started much later than expected. They said it was supposed to start at 10 p.m. last night here, and then 2 a.m. And then finally, about 2 a.m., our local meteorologist said, no, it's going to start 7 a.m. And I got up. I must have missed that one. Because I must have fallen asleep before 2 a.m. And I woke up about 6:45, and there was no snow. And I put the local news channel on, and I had it on for a bit. And they said that he did update it in the middle of the night. And he said 7 a.m. it's going to start. And sure enough, about 7 a.m. the first few snowflakes fell. And by noon, we had about 3 to 4 inches of snow. And it kept going. By 3 p.m., we had about 7 inches. And now I'm hearing we're supposed to have more snow on Monday.
Monday night to Tuesday.
Yes. So now we had one big snowfall this entire winter, and we thought we were going to get away scot-free. You know, here we are looking. Next Friday, by the way, is St. Patrick's Day. So pretty much we're looking, we're going to get out of this relatively, you know, snow-free for winter. Oh, no. Here comes another storm. And another one behind it, just for winter to say, ha ha, I fooled you.
Now that just made me think about it. Does that mean the next week's podcast, we all have to be talking with an Irish accent?
Oh, I don't know if I could pull one off. Oh, you want me to try one now? No.
Well, next is it next Friday, St. Paddy's Day?
Yes.
Okay.
Hoot, man, hoot. Dude, I'm dealing with migraines. I don't want to upset any. I'm trying to keep everything very low key tonight. I'm just trying to make it through tonight's show.
All right. Well, then I'll do a little informative. I'll do informative at the moment here. Like I said, there was no updates by the looks of it on Paragon Chat, anything out of notice. But on Champions, we do have a few things. We have Story XP Week. If you do one of the adventure packs or the storylines and you're trying to level up your tune, you're going to get bonus experience points. Also, on the Zen store, they have 50% off of keys, single and bundled purchases, discounts on Sidekick, action figures, teleportation devices, and more, 15% off. So if you like to purchase stuff, or you collected a whole bunch of cube. And the March, if you're a gold or a lifetime member, the March item of the month is a repeat.
Oh,
it's the Mardi Gras mask, which they had last year.
Ah.
I think somebody done slipped.
Which mask is it? Is it like Mardi Gras?
Yeah. So those are the updates as of this time. Though I hear coming soon is FoxBatCon, the games event of, I want to say, April. It's their annual April Fool's thing. Now, I never really paid attention. Does Paragon Chat keep the tradition up April 1st? Here's the latest update. And it's something silly.
I don't know.
Because if they're going to do something, I say, do you remember the old Stan and Lou episodes? You know, the two henchmen that pretty much go through all of Paragon City, go to the Rogue Isles, leveling up. It's a very good comedy bit. Take a look for Stan and Lou episodes, City of Heroes on YouTube. They're all there, all the episodes. Well, one of the things that they had was, you know what I'm talking about?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, one of the powers is Rain of Tomatoes. So, you know, if they're going to do that, say they're going to make the power Rain of Tomatoes.
Okay, what does this do?
Basically, it's a temp power that once you make it, once you start it, it rains tomatoes on you. Or the target intended.
That's funny.
If you think about it, when the game was up, you know, those gold spammers, just go up, hit them with Rain of Tomatoes.
That's funny. Yeah, I just looked them up. There are some here. Wow, 9 years ago? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Number 14, Skyway City. I'm just reading the description. Stan and Lou discuss what travel powers they want to take.
Yep. Now, if on your search you have like you know how they bunch them all together, put that bunch link into Paragon Radio. You know, this is a case of memories.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. I'm going to share it right here, and then I'm going to put it right over in Paragon Radio. Hold on. I have a group of like 31 videos. There you go.
Mm-hmm. And there are actually two extra ones. Stan and Lou Save the Universe, I think is the title, where someone tried to continue the story after City of Heroes shut down. But it only did two episodes. But, you know, it kept the feel alive. I will say that. I aired it on Dawn Radio a couple of times, and yes, Rain of Tomatoes was mentioned. Skippy, when you hear that all, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And don't have anyone that I'm able to reach to talk about DCUO. So most people go like, never mind. there is the Coins of Joaquin event happening on Neverwinter. Basically, able to get Coins of Joaquin. Yeah. Basically, able to gain some currency on that game. And Star Trek Online. What do we got? It looks like 20% on Lobdi Crystal, which is currency there.
Code Warrior asks a question. Possible SOH interview on Dawn Radio.
Yes. the intrepid DJ Dirty has talked to three of the people that are working for Heroes. I'm going to be previewing what she has posted on YouTube. If you want to check her channel out, it's Dirty Little Secrets, all one word. She has posted it up already. Should I share that link? I know you're you're a little hesitant about Ship of Heroes, but it is DJ Dirty. You know DJ Dirty.
Yep, it's okay.
Okay. Pogo has spoken.
There's
that one.
I'll out. It's right. It's okay. I'll share it on the Facebook under the Facebook channel as well.
And if it's all good, then I will air that interview on Dawn Radio, either Monday or Tuesday, giving me a much needed break.
Now, what about the legal problems that we heard about? I thought there were some.
Well, we probably might hear something on this. Like I said, I have not viewed it yet. I'm not going to say they talked about it or not until I seen it.
Okay.
Because it just got made not even an hour ago. But Dirty Little Secrets does some videos for Sims 4 games.
Okay.
And just like, you know, we support the podcast and we support Chaos Dragon's YouTube channel, we are also supporting Dirty Little Secrets YouTube.
Okie dokie. Well, I do have some updates for Heroes and Villains.
Okay.
And City of Titans. I don't know how much of this I'm going to be able to read, so I'll do my best with this.
Should I get my Captain Orbit voice ready?
If you want to read some, I don't know. Well,
but you're talking about having a migraine. And every time we do the Captain Orbit, you go into hysterics. So I don't know if that's going to push it.
Well, hold on. If you want to read City of Titans, I'll give you the link and you can read that one. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, because my screen is like, it's white and it's just fluctuating. It's like doing a weird, when you look at those fluorescent lights in the ceiling.
I was about to say, is it doing Wayne's World's Extreme Close-Up moment?
Yes, it's doing something like that. So here, I'm going to start off with, I will do the Heroes and Villains stuff, and then we'll see how, we'll take it from there. We'll do one at a time.
Okay.
Because we haven't been in a few weeks, so I'm just going to take it one at a time. Yes, as Code Warrior says, the less reading I do, the better. So I'm just going to do one at a time. I'm just taking it easy tonight, folks. I just can't do that much with the migraine. So I'm not supposed to be doing a show tonight, but I just felt it might help just to do something tonight because I was getting very depressed not being able to do anything. So, all right, so this week, this is update number 220, by the way, from Heroes and Villains. This week, we've been doing some more work on the basic framework for our story mission system, this time putting in place a simple reward structure for completing missions so that our first pair of test missions now give out a fixed number of experience points once they're done. While we have a few rough ideas for XP values, we're not going to be making any definite decisions about it for some time, as it's going to need a huge amount of testing and fine-tuning first. Plus, just about every MMO has made XP adjustments post-launch, so even lengthy and detailed tests pre-launch are unlikely to mean that we'll never need to tweak the XP post-launch. Another major thing that also needs to be worked out with XP is how to share it out among a team of players, especially in terms of making it harder for players to earn XP if they have contributed nothing or almost nothing towards the mission, as in what we're known as door sitters. In City of Heroes, players who would go AFK just inside a mission entrance and still get the same amount of XP as the players who were actually completing the mission, which is really not the kind of behavior that makes for good teaming. Have a heroic villainous weekend, the Heroes and Villains team.
Yeah, you're correct. It never makes good for good teaming. It makes some interesting new curse words. That's pretty much it.
Right.
It's like, wait, let me write that one down. Well, what was that again?
Yes. Well, here was a thing, too, though. Like, sometimes I was in a group, and they would ask, like, do you mind? We have a couple of alts here. We're trying to get some levels up. Do you mind if they just sit there? And I would say, I don't mind. You know, whatever.
At least they asked.
Right, right. And I remember being on the same team, and we said, okay, guys, we're losing a couple of players. Here's the deal. This isn't a sit. This isn't a door sit mission. We need everybody to contribute. And we'd walk back, beat up, and we said, guys, this is not a door sit mission. Let's go. And the same people were sitting, and you knew they were sitting there because they were doing emotes left and right. Like, and we go over there smacking them. You know how you could set up the slap and the smack emote?
Yep.
Put between two things, and you go slap, smack, smack. And like, what's the matter? Like, for the 15th time, we've told you this is not a door sit mission. Get off your asses. Let's go. We know you can hear us because you're doing emotes. Let's go. Oh, I got stuff to do. No, you don't. You were just in there fooling around. Oh, okay. What? You can sit here and do emotes, but you can't click some powers for us? What do you want me to do? Oh, you're a kinetic. How about that speed boost thing? That might be helpful.
I always say
you're a healer. Oh, I... Hold on. Oh, you're a healer. I don't know. Oh, heal us? Holy mackerel. You're a force field defender. Put those bubbles around us. Good Lord. Really? Shit almighty.
It's like healers, yes. Bubbles, yeah, I had no problem. I hated speed boost. Oh, I was probably the only one that everyone knew that hated speed boost with a passion.
Really? I knew a few people who didn't like it.
Because it...
But what was your
opinion? Well, it always happened while you're in a cave. All of a sudden, spam speed boost.
Oh, yes.
What does that mean? I turn into a pinball. Ping, 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 ping,
yes.
Ping. We're over here. I can't get there.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as a subtle turn in a cave. Remember, when you get here, make a sharp turn. I can't. I'm trying. I can't make a sharp turn.
I
try
like,
to make a sharp
remember,
turn.
A
I wind
few
up
of
making...
those tunnels. These little tunnels have a hairpin turn. So what does that mean? You racked up 300 points.
Oh, one of my friends, he was going to teach everybody a lesson. He told me he was going to, this is when you get six slotted. He goes, I'm just going to piss people off. I'm going to six slot his speed boost with run.
Ugh.
I was like, why? just to piss people off.
And I also added out speed boost plus super speed plus super jump plus that temporary power that speeds you up just a little bit more equals, Jason, get me off this crazy thing! And you jump across fault line.
How about transfusion? Oh, and transfusion, that's another one that gives you super jump.
Yep.
I'm on crack.
It's like, remember the castle?
I could jump.
Yeah, no.
I could jump across the shadow shard in one jump. Watch. I can make it across with. I could keep jumping without hitting a meteor, whatever those rocks are called.
I was like, did he do it? Not quite, but he did find that one badge that's on the lower meteor in that one zone.
Yeah. The one shard that's almost impossible to find unless you can fly, or the one they say, poor sucker.
Yep.
The one that's called, you fell to your death too many times. Wow. You know, they had something like that in the Lord of the Rings Online, where you're in the Mines of Moria, and there's this well, and everybody kept jumping in the well, and they didn't fall right, and they kept dying. And out of sheer, what the hell, I don't know, whatever, like, I just went, oh, what the hell, I'll try this, and I lived. I was like, I made it to the bottom, I didn't die. And they're like, how the hell did you do that? I was like, oh, I jumped and just hugged the wall. And I just, like, just hugged to the wall, so I didn't – see, you guys jumped through the middle and didn't hold on to anything, so you just fell recklessly. I hugged to the wall, and you ever see, like, pirates when they use the knife to, like, cling to, like – that's basically what I was doing, and I survived. So I only had a 10-foot thing. My dwarf – my badass dwarf had a 10-foot fall from the opening of the pit into a water thing, and we've been in that room before. And they're like, oh, you're kidding me. And all of a sudden they went, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, when you get to the bottom, you get a badge for it. I forgot what it was, like, not so bottomless, or you found the bottom of the bottomless pit. I was like, yeah, you wind up in that room. They're like, oh, shit.
Now, I'll give credit.
I just tried it. I was like, oh, if everybody else is dying, we're all going to try it. I figured, what the hell? I was like, not so much a suicide dive after all, is it? And what's funny is, I was playing with Susie, you know, our friend Susie, the elf.
Right.
And she was playing an elf. I was like, ha, so, all you elves dying, that dwarf figured out how to live. And she's like, oh, we're not going to hear the end of this one. I was like, so the dwarf lived and all you elves died.
I just had this image of the Bugs Bunny and seeing everyone jump. Bugs Bunny just looking at everyone else falling down. I'll give Kirk credit here. They started the costume contest. I'm going like, okay, why? But they now have badge contests. It's like bad races, you know, find a certain set of badges. And you can see if they found the badge or not. So if Takeets is on and you're listening, here's a challenge. That one badge I was telling about in the Shadow Shard, I forget exactly what zone. It's the most difficult badge to find. Have the badge races go to that location. You will see new curse words.
Isn't there a way to buy a jetpack from a dude in a shard?
But remember, you could also fly. You got all the hoverboard stuff. The thing is, you know, it's not a game of falling down anymore. Now it's just trying to find which rock has it. Because it's not linear. It's not eye level. No, you got to go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 up, down, up, down, trying to find the right rock that has the badge.
Is this it? No. Is this it? No. Is it? No.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, even with Vidiot maps, there were people that took a half hour to an hour trying to find the right rock.
Really? See, that's what I was going to say to you, because that's still up.
Because it just shows you, all right, this is where it is. Unfortunately, VidMap does not tell you three-dimensional thinking. All right. You said there was a second Heroes and Villains update.
Yes, there are three altogether.
Okay.
So I'm just looking. All these, I can't go to the movies because these migraines, and three movies are out now I want to go see, and I know they're going to be out by the time I can get clearance to go to the movies. Lego Batman's been out for a couple weeks. Logan came out last week, and now Kong Skull Island came out this week. This is no fair. This is a bunch of BS. Anyway, I'm sorry. All right, this is going to be update 221. I'm sorry, I'm just griping.
It's all right.
I didn't do nothing to nobody. I don't know why I got stuck with this. All right, anyway. Well, it's not fun, I'll tell you that much.
No.
Where is it? Okay. All right, this is update number 221. This week, we've been continuing to work on the framework for our mission system, this time setting up NPCs to be able to hand out multiple missions and or story arcs, which is obviously important for any recurring NPC contacts that players might meet during their journeys through the game. Related to this, we've also been working out the design for some basic dialogue trees to help broaden the kinds of interactions that players could have with NPCs. There are generally three types of branching dialogue that could be used in an RPG. The first one is fluff, where a player could choose to get on with accepting a mission right away, for example, or choose to get some brief background info on the mission or enemies they'll be facing, and then start the mission. The second type is a kind of personality dialogue tree. Players could choose from various ways to respond to NPCs, such as humorously or aggressively, for example, which can then be commented on later by NPCs, allowing a player to shape their character's personality and have the game world recognize it. The third kind of dialogue tree is the action type. This is where a player can choose to respond to an NPC in a way that changes the current flow of the story that they're in, such as being given a choice between two separate locations to go to continue the storyline in two different ways. Have a heroic film this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team.
Okay.
That was from the week previous. That was 221. See, in this game, I don't think we had that in City of Heroes. I think we just had the one response, didn't we? As far as I remember.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I mean, I think that'd be pretty neat if they could pull it off in this one. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this will be... this will be from last week. This is 222. Oh, good, it's a short one. Good, I can make it. This is number 222. All right, this week we've been doing some more animation work to test out the basic NPC and player animation rig, focusing on the face bones, which will be used to create facial expressions for characters. Like the body animations and the character models themselves, we don't want to make them 100% realistic, as that's not really a suitable look for a comic book game. But at the same time, we don't want them to be too exaggerated and cartoonish, as that's also not really in keeping with the general style of mainstream comic books. It's also important for the facial animations to work in the same way as the body animations by being flexible enough to be applied to various face shapes without making some faces distort as a result, which would lead to us needing multiple variations of each animation, significantly increase the amount of work that we need to do. And so always have a heroic villain this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team.
Okay.
And that brings us up to date on Heroes and Villains. And there's another one here. I'm just going to post the link for this one.
For City of Titans?
Is for City of Titans. Yes. It's rather
right.
Lengthy.
Well, you asked me.
What you,
yeah.
If you want to
you
read, it's what,
read
it's
it,
it's what you know. Okay.
What you know downtown. Ooh. You mean I may get to do Captain Orbit? Let's see. Also, sometimes known as District Business 62. Oh, no. Okay. I'll try to do this tourist video. Downtown, also sometimes known as the Biz District, the Skyscraper District, or City Center, the latter is the most common in real estate promotional material and tourist guides, while the Skyscraper District is most often heard amongst older residents who remember the building boom. Locals most often call it downtown. Downtown's atmosphere represents the commercial and architectural heart of Titan City. It contains numerous offices and public buildings built over the course of a century. Its soaring spires and spectacular towers stand as testaments to the city's enduring strength. Noted Titanese Chester Gilbertson once described the area, "This is the beating heart of the city. Even as the city sleeps, the streets are alive and restless. People strive to work full of purpose and play on sidewalk and skywalk, chasing their idle pastimes. Ranks of automobiles through the streets, and the skies are always full of birds, planes, and super women and men." Someone's, okay. I'll leave the comments away later. For the early years of the Stewart Bay colonies, through the turn of the 20th century, the area contained a crowded, busy assortment of offices, apartments, government buildings, and stores. The fire of 1908 reduced the entire area, though, to charred rubble. This turned out to be a blessing in disguise. City planners redrew the area's layout, replacing the tangle of winding, narrow streets and with a grid of wider thoroughfares that are suited to automobiles. Most importantly, demand for new construction lured visionary architects and builders from all over the world. In the 1920s and 1930s, the skyscrapers achieved worldwide renown. The shining spires of Titan became a symbolic of the city as its burgeoning hero population. Even today, no image of Titan City is more iconic than that of a hero perched on an elaborately molded skyscraper, stand watch over the city. Building continued in the decade after World War II, adding gleaming glass and steel international-style towers to the deco architecture of downtown. Like the downtowns of many other American cities, the Skyscraper District experienced some economic malaise beginning in the 1970s, but it never grew as severe as in some other cities. Today, only the area around Common Street still looks depressed and deserted. Several buildings suffered serious damage from Hurricane Atlas in 1998. Atlas, and that year. All right. Andrew, thank you. And a few even collapsed. Most of the time has now been replaced with postmodern equivalent. The new construction also finally jump-started a project that has been discussed since the 1930s, an attempt to connect the skyscraper with a random network of skywalks and platforms, creating a true vertical city. Even more surprisingly, airship traffic, gone since before World War II, has recently returned to the area, with aerial visitors ranging from blimps to more unwelcome ones like the Ether Pirates. The last decade and a half has seen a rebirth of business and tourism in down south. Neighborhoods, how long is this one? All right. Is this out of check? Downtown is home to a number of commonly recognized neighborhoods, including Fountain Street, named for a very small fountain rebuilt there soon after the fire in 1908. This area is home to Titan City's tallest tower, the Liberty Building, as many other famous structures. Another neighborhood of skyscrapers is Armistice Street, where flowing stone and colorful ornamentation characterize Fountain Street. Armistice is a place of reflective glass and steel, echoing interiors and the biggest of big business. Cape Chasers may want to visit the Orbit Room revolving restaurant, a popular hangout for crime fighters. I get to do it. Yes.
You had to sneak it in there.
Don't blame me. I didn't write the article.
I know.
Next is Fitzgerald Square, named for the United City's first mayor. The small neighborhood contains much of the downtown area's retail and residential space. Named for the common pasture that occupies this area long ago, Common Street is the least healthy part of downtown. This area boomed in the post-war years, and many mid-rise buildings were built. Common Street suffered greatly in the economic contradictions of the 70s, and now many of those buildings are empty or in serious need of repair. The sidewalks here tend to be cracked and deserted, and people hurry through, rushed in daylight and furtive by night. The only major activity here is transportation. Perhaps the most unusual feature in downtown is the skywalks. The skywalks connect the upper levels of several of the tallest buildings at the intersection of the Fountain Square and Armitage Street neighborhoods. A vertical neighborhood, this area includes enclosed and open skywalks connecting the buildings, as well as several rooftops. Cape chasing. Downtown is home to a huge, widely eclectic range of super beings and superpowered groups. Some of the more frequently glimpsed groups include those of the Black Rose, the Ether Pirates, and the E-Punk Radicals. Prominent supers often seen area include Captain Orbit at the Orbit Room, the Speedster Celerity, and a host of others. Nearly every prominent hero in the villain has fought or at least passed through downtown on multiple occasions. Comment section. They got a comment section.
Yes. See, I usually read this part. Sometimes I read it. Oh, no, I do read this section. Yeah.
All right. Had to be sure. Am I the only one who thinks the Titan City Office of Tourism should be paying for this? ApeDude143. I think there are robots or something breaking stuff at the Common Center construction site. My friend's cousin saw one, Rockin' Man 99.5. That's an urban age legend. Everyone knows that robots only steal from junkyards and things. ApeDude143. I saw Celerity downtown the other day. He's so amazing. XXX, Light Girl, XXX. Fangirl alert, Person Man 59. I saw Memory at a party at the Laurel House. She's hot. Sneeze 10695. Fanboy alert, Person Man 59. Someone get those two together, Green Purple Man. Celerity and Memory, or XXX Light Girl, XXX, or Sneeze 10695, Person Man. Why not both, iShip Service? Now, I think Celerity and Memory are already dated. She dumped them when she found out what was really thought of her, Green Purple Man. I wish I had traffic powers. Boss always keeps me 10 to 15 minutes late and then translates into another half hour sitting in my car before making it to the tunnel. Royson. Anyone seen any scorpion activity around downtown? Asking for a friend. Roar Henshaw. People hurry through, rushed in daylight and furtive by night. This melodramatic tone is not appropriate for a website devoted to serious observation of the city. I'm in your database. What website are you talking about, Person Man? Three Captain Orbits.
And three Captain Orbit sightings, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Well done.
They must have heard we're doing the Captain Orbit voice.
I think they're just doing it to get you. I guarantee you, they're just. You better watch, man. You're
hey,
recording the show to get you due for free. Telling you.
Well, then they got to come on to the. Then they have to come on to the podcast.
I don't think so.
Because then I can make our Captain Orbit sound very, very silly.
Oh, that's true.
The Adventures of Captain Orbit and Boop Boy.
With
the space,
so you know,
what we
never
like,
checked on.
What was that?
That's the Razzies.
Oh,
I have them here. I have the winners, or I guess the losers.
Hey, what do we got?
Okay. You want me to give the? I'll give the categories, and I'll just give the recipients the Razzie, the Razzie
all right.
Recipient. All right.
The big one.
Worst picture. Remember, you don't ever want to get a Razzie. This goes out to the worst of the worst of last year. So this goes out to, basically, goes out to the worst of 2016. Okay. Some notables here. Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, became the first documentary film to be nominated. And some other things we'll get on. Worst picture goes to Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party by Gerald R. Molin.
I did call it.
Worst actor. Worst actor goes to Dinesh D'Souza for Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, as himself. I call this one. I called it worst supporting actor. Jesse Eisenberg for Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice as Lex Luthor. I'm sorry, Lex Luthor is not a psychotic Joker ripoff. Lex Luthor is very smart and very cunning, and he's not, and even if he's crazy, he's not that crazy. He's not Joker crazy. He's a totally different type of...
We said it before, I'll say it again. That was not Lex Luthor, that was Arcade. He should have been in the X-Men.
Yes. Yes, that was wrong type of villain. That was not. Oh, worst screen combo. Ben Affleck and his BFF, baddest foe forever, Henry Cavill in Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Worst screenplay. I don't agree with this one at all. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Chris Terrio and David S. Goyer. From the characters created by DC Comics. All right. All right. The Barry L. Bumstead Award. This is for a movie that cost a lot and lost a lot. Misconduct, Lionsgate premiere. I don't know how much it cost or what it lost, but. Okay. Worst director, Dinesh D'Souza. And Bruce Schooley for Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. I know. Worst Actress Award goes to Rebecca Turner for Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party as Hillary Clinton. Okay, Worst Supporting Actress. Wow. Kristen Wiig for Zoolander 2 as Alexandra Ataz. I guess she should go back to Saturday Night Live. Okay, Worst Prequel, Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel. I want to retally the votes on this one, man. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Are you kidding me? You got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the shadows there. Are you flipping kidding me? Who voted on this one? And then you've got, yeah, don't laugh. You got the Razzie Redeemer Award. Mel Gibson from Worst Supporting Actor nominee for The Expendables 3 to directing Hacksaw Ridge. Now, what's funny about this is you have the they have the list of who received the most nominations. Batman v Superman and Zoolander 2 tied for most nominations with 8. Dirty Grandpa, Gods of Egypt, Hillary's America, and Independence Day Resurgence all got 5 nominations. Alice Through the Looking Glass and Boo, Amadea Halloween got 3 nominations. 50 Shades of Black, Mother's Day, Suicide Squad, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the chat. Oh, I'm sorry. And the Divergent series, Allegiant, got 2 nominations, and Collateral Beauty, London Has Fallen, Shut-In, and Snowden each got 1 nomination. And then the following 3 films won awards. Zoolander 2, Hillary's America, and Batman v Superman. Well, Hillary's America and Batman v Superman are tied for 4 wins each. But other ones won. Okay, now this is the one. Okay, they do have the list at the bottom of how much each of these movies made and lost. And it's funny, his Misconduct isn't even on the list, so. And what's funny is now, Batman v Superman had made the biggest moneymaker in the entire list.
That's usually how it falls. I remember. We were young at the time being when the winners of the Oscars were also the big money makers. Now,
right. The
ones that win the Oscars, everyone's going, huh?
Yeah. Now they're the biggest
question.
Oh, okay. Misconduct. It cost $11 million to make and only made $2.1 million.
Okay.
Okay, critical. I had to go to Wikipedia. I clicked on it and it took me to Wikipedia. It holds a 7% rotten rating on review on the Rotten Tomatoes based on 26 with an average rating 2.43 out of 10. On Metacritic, holds 24 out of 100 based on 10 critics indicating general unfavorable reviews. Yeah, basically all the reviewers gave it generally negative reviews. Yeah, they said this was an awful movie. And who was in this? Josh Duhamel. I'm looking here. Josh Duhamel, Alice Eve, Malin Ackerman, Byung-Hun Lee, Julie Stiles, Glenn Powell, Al Pacino, Anthony Hopkins. That's like almost an all-star cast, and the movie still sucked.
Let's see. Got about a half hour left here, so let's take up with some news of comics, cartoons, and whatnot, or in this case, live action. Now we know coming up.
Well,
is
hold on
the
a minute. Sorry. No. I just want to. I should have posted the Razzies here for you guys to look at. There you go.
Okay. Now we all know coming up is the. All right. We all know coming up is the live action Beauty and the Beast. They're not done. There's a live action Little Mermaid. According to Newsarama, I just want to make sure this was not a fan base thing. Nope, the first trailer of one of two live action adaptations of The Little Mermaid has been released. And for some reason, the cast of The Little Mermaid and Downton Abbey's Poppy Drayton, Gina Gerson, and Shirley MacLaine. Would Shirley MacLaine be the antagonist of this movie? I forgot her name. The one
Ursula?
With the... yeah, thank you.
Queen Ursula, I think her name is. Is she Queen or just Ursula?
Just Ursula.
I remember that because I can't remember. They were poking fun at her the other night on something. It was some comedy show. They were saying that about Beauty and the Beast. Yes! Oh, I did hear about this because they were talking about some movie theater in the Midwest. They weren't going to show this movie because about the openly gay character. And then they were talking about this movie. And it's like, hello, I think they already beat this one. And then they showed a picture of Ursula.
It's like, now they're not even rebooting.
Well, if
they
I
got
may,
the idea
I
they
have
don't reboot, so we'll just take cartoons that one big did great and now live action it.
Well, I have some big news that might get you in a good mood.
All right.
How about the season 7 premiere date of Game of Thrones? It will be. You ready? Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you ready? Wait, do I have a drum? Drum roll. July 16th.
Okay.
Is this a good drum roll? Let me try this again.
There it is. The kettle drum roll.
Thanks. July 16th. Where were you two? Jesus. You're supposed to do it before I say, not wait for me to say it, then do you idiots.
Unions. Those musician unions.
You
are
do it,
tough.
Then I say. The musicians union after the show.
And in DC, the continuing story of Rebirth that's capturing all the hearts of all comic book fans saw a return of an old and have not been used in a long time villain.
Ooh.
Now, to set up Superman, the original Superman, because the new 52 Superman is dead, found himself looking at Clark Kent. He's going, why am I looking at Clark Kent? Clark Kent was actually disguised for, all right, I'm going to go with the 70s version pronunciation of Mr. Mitzelplick.
You know what's so funny about that? Mitzelplick, however you're pronouncing it, was on Supergirl a couple weeks ago, and they pronounced every single letter in his name.
I know. I saw that one. It was like, Mix's Pitlick. I was like, what?
What? I was like, huh? Like, you don't pronounce every letter? Oh, my God. They're changing his name for the TV show.
They just probably heard every version in movies, cartoons, and whatnot. They go, we'll just make our own. Everyone else did.
Yeah.
If they ever actually bring in Mr. Mitzelplick into a Superman movie, one, you know it's got to be CGI.
Yes.
Because you saw what happened at Supergirl. It just didn't work.
Right.
And two, you know, Affleck incident aside, you need Gilbert Gottfried to do the voice.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Wait, as a matter of fact, didn't he do that in...
He did it in the animated series, yes.
Yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, in the 90s he did that, right?
Yep. So, like
cool.
I said, Affleck incident aside, bring in Gilbert Gottfried. Because the last year of the CGI Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming up.
The what?
Be the last year of the CGI Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on Nickelodeon. This is the last year of
this.
But
how come they're ending it? Yes.
Because they are continuing in a different series. They're bringing back the 80s two-dimensional Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Why?
Because there was so much popularity when they mixed it with the 90s Turtles. Then they mixed them with the CGI Turtles. They go like, okay, why mess with the classics? So they're coming back.
Are they
going
to bring it back to Nickelodeon? On Nickelodeon?
It's still going to be on
Nickelodeon.
Still going to be on Nickelodeon. No, it's not going to go to CBS, though. Well, technically CBS and Nickelodeon are both owned by Viacom, so they kind of stays at home.
Right.
And look at it this way. The guy, I can't believe I just forgot his name. The guy who did Yakko's voice, who's also, Donatello in the CGI, he gets to keep his job because he was Raphael in the cartoon 80s.
Right. I wonder if Greg Sipes is still going to do
all four is still alive. The only one they're probably going to have to do a research on the voice is for Shredder because Fresh Prince's uncle died.
Oh, right. But I want because Greg Sipes, he's been doing Michelangelo in the CGI one. And there was an episode of Teen Titans Go where they meet the Turtles, and he also does Leonardo's voice
He pretty much did them all, yeah.
So it was kind of funny. He did Leonardo's voice in that one. I mean, Michelangelo's voice, and he does Beast Boy's voice. So, do you have a link for that article, per chance?
What I just talked about? No, It was aired on Nickelodeon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When was this? How did I miss
it? Like a couple of weeks ago.
Huh.
So I guess they're going to do a grand finale, and since they've already introduced interdimensional travel, I figured that's going to be their hook.
Okay, I'm finding something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's reported by the reboot was announced for 2018. When will be titled Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. New series will be co-produced. Oh, and don't forget tomorrow night, Samurai Jack comes back with all new episodes.
Ah!
Well, he's got to get back to the past.
Yep.
Okay, and here it is that the Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will premiere in the fall of next year. Okay, and we're excited for the new series. This is about the Turtle series. We're excited for the new series to take the characters in a different direction with more humor, a younger and lighter feel, and all new dimensions to explore.
There you go. A lot of changes happening.
Well, I know that's coming back. I know they mentioned a new series for Ben 10, which is like a reboot of the original series. Come on, there you go. There's that series there. So it looks like everything old is new again. They're bringing back all the old popular cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, on that one, there was something else here that we talked about before we got on the air, and I just blanked.
You had a rant. No, you had a rant. You did your rant.
Yeah. Oh, so. Comic fans. Remember the days of you knew which comic you were going to get when you looked at the top left corner? For the resurrection of Marvel, they're bringing back the old school box art.
Woo-hoo. I have the article right here.
There you go.
Yeah. Post it here. Yep. Go ahead.
All right. The rival comes with a twist. Rather than being the traditional square, it's going to be nestled in the corner of each of the X logo. Older fans remember corner boxes that feature specials that the highlighted characters specific to the title. They have not been used for years, but they're bringing them back.
Right. Although most people would rather have the box, but it's a start at least. It's going to be, if you see in the corner of the X title, it's going to be in that little, it's going to fit between the corner and the X.
Yep.
Some people, but I know a lot of people want, I guess all the X titles are going to have, you know, just to let you know, it's an X title, it's going to be an X, and then the title of the book. So. Because the title's going to be X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold. This is basically going back to 92 with the two teams, X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Cable, Jean Grey, Iceman, Weapon X, Generation X. And then starting in July, we're going to have Astonishing X-Men, but they're going to all the titles, including, like, Cable's going to have the X and then the word Cable. Oh, but like I said, Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm so used to seeing Cable holding a... Okay, we assume, like, Cable's, like, 6 foot. I'm so used to seeing Cable holding an 18-foot gun in one hand. So
to see
the gun that he has in his hand now, it's like something's wrong.
Well, hold on. Now, here's the thing about Astonishing X-Men. Astonishing X-Men, now, you know, X-Men Blue and Gold, that's going to be the two teams split up. I mean, the full team split up. Now, Astonishing X-Men, they say, this will be the team's full lineup. So you're going to have Old Man Logan, Archangel, Mystique, Rogue, Gambit, Bishop, Psylocke, and Phantom X. Or, I mean, that's Astonishing X-Men's full lineup. Old Man Logan, Archangel, Mystique, Rogue, Gambit, Bishop, Psylocke, and Phantom X.
This would
so that's going to be that team.
Right. You know, sounds like they're Stealth X-Force.
Well, I think there is an X.
Well, you know, you and I'm talking about the Stealth X-Force, you know, for stuff that
right.
they really don't want people to know.
Well, if you look at, what's her name? You know, the old new Wolverine, she's getting her costume like weapon, like X-Force had, like that black and gray uniform with the red eyes.
Uh-huh.
That's what she's getting next month, so. That's why, because I see, that's what's weird, because I don't know what, like, who's getting what? Like, who, like, what titles are going to be around? Are these all just going to be the reboots? Or some of the original titles still going to be left around?
Could not, until it happens, it's like, guess.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just hard to say, because obviously you have two X teams right now. I guess
right.
they can replace with those. Cable's going to be a new book. Jean Grey and Iceman, they're going to be new books. Weapon X, Generation X, Astonishing X-Men, those can be new books. But you have all new Wolverine, which is X-23. But they're showing something with Old Man Logan, and after that, they are showing a younger Wolverine coming back.
Well, that was introduced with the end of Civil War. Where,
Secret Empire, right?
Well, at the end of Civil War, where Ulysses has the big reveal flashback. Remember, we did talk about
right.
it, that we saw younger Wolverine. Which,
right,
could be the tap in with the Secret Empire, because we did, the last time we did a podcast, talk about Hulk Vereen.
That's right. That's right. Well,
like,
I did
we
see
know,
on the picture. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because we know that he has the body of the Hulk. What we don't know is, has he or is he going to go for the adamantium-cased body of Wolverine? Last known location in the X-Mansion.
Right. And how come Magneto hasn't tried to get the body out of that thing?
I think because of the case of, you really want to wake Wolverine up? I know he's supposed to have lost his healing powers, but this is Marvel. Let's be honest amongst ourselves. The only thing that people have been screaming for and they haven't touched yet is the return of the normal Marvel Universe Peter Parker and Mary Jane's wedding. Now, I'll give credit to the Renew Your Vows storyline. They were going like, thank you! Now let's bring it to the real area.
Well, there's a couple of things. I still want Professor X to come back. I think that's ridiculous they killed him off.
Well,
these
in
young
a way
X-Men
he...
have to go back.
In a way,
the young
Professor
X-Men
X
go back
is
to their
up.
Past.
Professor X is up and about.
Oh?
Yes. If you have not
okay,
read
did I miss
the
something?
Lines, yes, because if you have not seen it, they have mentioned it in the Uncanny Avengers and a little bit
okay,
on the,
I don't...
and a little bit with the Civil War situation.
Okay, I don't read. Okay, I finished the Civil War. I don't recall the mentioning Professor X, and I
well,
don't
yeah,
recall.
Well, you had to bounce. You had to bounce through all the comics again.
What was that?
You had to bounce through all the comics again to get to this one.
Oh. Okay, but and I don't read Uncanny Avengers, so you might as well tell me.
Okay. Red Skull
right.
has the mind of Professor X.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. You're right. Okay, I do remember that now. Okay.
And in some of his artwork in the Uncanny Avengers, yes, you see Red Skull, but you also see hints that's Professor X's face.
Okay. So what are you going to do? A massive personality drain and get him in his old body?
I don't know. They did that with Superior Spider-Man, Doc Ock thing. Don't know how this one's going to be done. It's revising an old story, but as of now, it's now that's still the truth. The only superhero that stays dead is DC's first Dove of Hawk and Dove. It used to be Bucky, not anymore.
Right. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. X-Men and Totally Awesome Hulk in Marvel's third summer 2017 event.
Go ahead.
This summer, Marvel's Totally Awesome Hulk and Weapon X will cross over in an event titled Weapons of Mutant Destruction. This story, written by Greg Pak, very good writer, the regular writer of both series, will begin in Totally Awesome Hulk 19. Before continuing in a Umad Asrar drawn one-shot titled Weapons of Mutant Destruction Alpha and subsequent issues of both series, the story was previously teased with a piece of art nicknamed Hulkverine that showed a Hulk-Wolverine mashup. Okay, we've got our heroes and villains who are hunting down the new Weapon X and end up teaming up with Amadeus Cho, the Totally Awesome Hulk. That in itself is fun because you've got very different dynamics here, where the Hulk is this young cocky dude who thinks he knows everything, and the Weapon X team is this hardened group of mercenaries and killers and criminals, basically. Pak explained to comicbook.com. There's some fun contrast there, but they teamed up because they found out that Weapon X is hunting the Hulk. The Weapon X program has a very specific mission in mind, and it involves the Hulk. And so now our heroes and the Hulk are teaming up to try to thwart it. Over the course of the story, things are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there are a few mysteries that will unspool and much slashing and smashing. Pak also spoke about the tension between Amadeus Cho, the Hulk, and the mutants of Weapon X over their lethal methods. Tension that reflects the classic rivalry between Wolverine and Bruce Banner's Hulk. Those two things together provide great story and character fodder, Pak explained. The fact is that the Hulk, Amadeus Cho, is not a killer, and he is not a hero who ever plans to kill anybody. That's not in his repertoire of finishing moves. He is an optimist who thinks that he can always find the right solution to any problem and doesn't believe in the lesser of two evils. He thinks he can always find a way to do the right thing and have the right outcome. The team, led by Logan, is considerably more jaded. Maybe they've seen more. Maybe they just have a different way, a different ethos, an attitude towards the world. But the conflict between them as a team up is absolutely going to feed into the story. It's going to be a big part of that emotional journey for these characters going both ways. As for the threat they're taking on, it lies within the new Weapon X program, which is dedicated to eliminating mutants. I should be very careful here. I should be very careful here for fear of spoilers. I could say that Weapon X has gone through a number of different incarnations over the years. And so its new incarnation of the group, of this nefarious organization, but its mission is to exterminate mutants. We are eventually going to learn that a surprising character is in charge of the program, a classic X-Men film, will be revealed in the fullness of time. What makes it even more interesting is that there is another villain who was involved in all this with parallel but slightly different motivations. even as the heroes are figuring out how to work together and what to do there is very interesting. Is a very interesting villain story going on during the course of this crossover, and I love that. Weapon X will be working on a project called Batch H that recalls the Hulk Marine teaser. However, Pack could not reveal what Batch H would actually be. And here's a checklist of issues, including the crossover. So the crossover is you get Totally Awesome Hulk 19, which is the prelude, Weapons of Mutant Destruction 1, which is a one-shot part 1, Totally Awesome Hulk number 20 part 2, Weapon X number 5 part 3, Totally Awesome Hulk number 21 part 4, Weapon X number 6, which is part 5, Totally Awesome Hulk number 22 part 6, and the Weapons of Mutant Destruction Alpha will be on shelves this June. So it will be in 7 parts.
Okay.
So it looks like June, July, August. And the fan writes, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse after Secret Empire. Another fan.
Oh,
Marvel's
no.
telling
it
us they
can't
sell another comic. Hold on. Wait, Marvel is telling, just another fan. Marvel is telling us they can't sell a comic without forcing the reader to buy another comic, too. DC is showing us that they are wrong. All right, DC is already on its third crossover, Night of the Monster Man, JL vs. SS, Superman Reborn. In the last year, with another two just around the corner, the Button, Lazarus Contract. Then it's another fan. Some of them outsold Civil War II. Marvel might need to reevaluate things. Another fan. Oh, Dick Grayson, he's called. Reborn is not an event. It's a crossover. And so was Monster Men. The only actual event was JL vs. SS. All right, so another person. My first complaint is just a joke. Why on earth would anyone name themselves Weapon X when the past 20 iterations were all failures? Death-filled failures. My second complaint is still kind of trivial, but I can't suspend disbelief like I can with the Weapon X name. Granted, I'm making assumptions here, but if you had remote control of the real Hulk's body, why bother wasting valuable antimanthium cores on it? That's like adding Ginsu knives to an A-bomb. My other assumption is that Weapon X, being what it is that they added Wolverine's healing factor to the Hulk, which is like adding Ginsu knives to a knife set that already has a crap ton of Ginsu knives. Wasn't that my complaint to it? Like, what the hell are you doing? And what if it gets out of control? Holy shit.
And
then another fan says, you're trying to make sense of Marvel in 2017. And then the guy who had all those complaints of LOL, touche. Then Dick Grayson writes back, Jesus, just we need another damn event. Seriously, Marvel, get with it. You keep droning on about this we asked for crap and make mine a Marvel, whatever the hell. But all you keep doing is ruining my favorite characters. Get with it, Marvel. Stop sucking ass. Oh, so it's a team up. Other replacements. No thanks. Yet another reason not to get with the new Weapon X title. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea and concept, but without the digital codes, it simply ain't worth it. I'll stick with my Spideys and a couple of the others, but no more. At least as far as Marvel goes. And then somebody else, wait, this could work. All they need to do is cover it with the Venom symbiote, put Deadpool's consciousness, and lastly, fill each issue with a Gwen Stacy version of it on variants and call it... Oh, God. Wait. Gwen Ven Hulk Farine Pool. Because of Marvel, that's original. And then somebody goes, could Batch H be a reference to Department H? And somebody says, for one, I'm buying both books already of a crossover, so it'll be refreshing reading every part of it. And that's what I'm thinking. What's funny is I actually get both books already, so I was like, oh, I only have to buy one more book. Whee! So that's it for me. I only have to buy one extra book. I'm set. See, I always love when you crossovers of books I already buy. It's like, oh, I don't have to buy anything extra.
Now, you know Marvel will... Go ahead.
What? No, or I have to buy one extra book? Okay. If I only have to buy one extra book, okay, that's cool for a crossover. But when they used to do stuff like, no, Rich, you only get two books in the series, you have to buy these other six books for it to make any sense. Fuck, are you kidding me?
Well, you know Marvel's gone over the deep end when they finally give Four Bushmen the Infinity Gauntlet and the Captain Universe powers.
Who?
Four Bushmen, the guy who wore the pot on his head.
Oh my God! No, no, no! No. I know what we could do. We could give Boop the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, Boop. The Infinity Boop.
Yes, the Infinity Boop. What was the other thing? The Cube of Infinite Power?
Yeah.
What was that thing?
Cosmic Cube.
The Cube. Cosmic Cube, thank you. Yes, we give Boop the Infinity Gauntlet in one hand and the Cosmic Cube in the other. That's all we need. Yes, we could do that because, you know.
Well, that we got about.
Yeah, that would give the, we give the Fox bat, and that would make all the sense in the world. That's.
Well, got about 4 minutes. So, considering
oh,
that
may,
between.
You will.
Before we go into the after party. So, I will have one thing to say that is somewhat related to everyone who's a gamer or coming, because the fact of it's a snack. Fans of the popular package Twinkies can now enjoy the taste of their favorite treat at the breakfast table without garnering judgmental stares from the rest of the family. Hostess has recently partnered with Kerry Convenience to bring Twinkies cappuccinos to convenience stores around the country. The drinks combine milk, a bit of coffee, and sponge cake flavor in an effort to mimic the taste of the Twinkie. They've already been seen at Sheetz, S-H-E-E-T-S, convenience stores across the Northeast. Since the sweet has come back
really?
In the history of... Yep, Hostess has risen the number one snack cake for the choice of C-store customers. So Twinkies cappuccinos not only provide consumers with another option with selecting a treat, it combines two of their favorites into one decadent indulgence. So far, customer feedback has appeared positive. With one tweet, who needs cocaine when you have a Twinkie-infused cappuccino? They do plan to
who?
Expand with the... with includes flavors inspired by Twinkies, the cupcakes, and the snowballs. This is the same company who's partnered with Walmart to launch deep-fried Twinkies in 2016.
Oh, my.
Now, neither Hostess nor
Carrie has... Oh, we have 90 seconds left.
They have not disclosed the nutritional information of the new beverage. They were not immediate, and the representative of each company were not immediately available for comment. So, how many calories? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Gonna ask her why, how many calories are in the thing.
Oh, you don't want to know that. You have this, you're gonna be here. You can have this. You're going to have to do all your cardio and then have a salad the rest of the day. That's it.
No, it's more like have this drink, the Twinkie cappuccino. If you don't have a cardiac, then you do the cardio.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, you know there's people that, after they hear this, are going to look for it.
Good Lord. Well, anyway, thank you all for tuning in tonight. And thank you to people listening to the replay Sunday night and all points in between. Thank you, Mad Viking, for co-hosting. Thank you to all the live listeners either in the chat room, those you're hanging out with us in Paragon chat. And thank you for those hanging out, listening to the replay on Sunday night and Champions Online, all points in between. You guys rock. Hopefully I'll be in better spirits next weekend on St. Patrick's Day. Top of the evening to you, my laddies. We'll have to get some songs ready for that.
Yep.
We'll see you next Friday night. Enjoy the TV shows. Enjoy your comic books. But remember, be super heroic this week, people. I think
and
we're
enjoy your
the
Twinkie
party.
Cappuccino.
A Twinkie cappuccino. Good Lord. Good show tonight. I think we're done.
All right. I was like, I saw that article. I couldn't resist. And then they mentioned the
I'm just typing
deep fried Twinkie. frozen deep fried Twinkies at that. Now, Sheetz stores in the Northeast.
All right,
is there a Sheetz?
Right, I'm logging you out of Paragon chat. All right, go ahead.
Thing there, where is there a Sheetz store? Okay, they are located in York. Sheetz.
Sheetz. That's wow, Sheetz.
Yeah. Then
why
there
do you
are
need a Sheetz store.
That's where you can get your Twinkie Cappuccino.
Oh.
All right, I found the website. Let's see where they are located.
you can
find
order online.
Sheets.
Find a sheet. Yep.
Find a sheet.
I don't believe we're doing this. All right, fine.
Hey, we started the Captain Orbit trend. Let's find some sheets.
Okay, the nearest one to me is 126.1 miles.
Hold on.
In Easton, Pennsylvania.
Easton, Pennsylvania. Bethlehem,
is that what
Pennsylvania.
You got two?
Pennsylvania,
yes,
Pennsylvania,
that's what
Pennsylvania,
I got yeah,
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I got... Oh, shit.
Scranton is close to me. Wilkes-Barre is even closer. Okay. Yep. From what I see, is a whole bunch of Pennsylvania.
I'm not going to Pennsylvania to get a...
Twinkie cappuccino. But you said you could order it?
Well, it says order online. Oh, I'm about to hit the wrong button.
Wait a minute. Emmy, she's in Pennsylvania.
Is she?
Yes. We got to ask her.
I'm not going to. All right. I hate to cut this short. My head's starting to hurt. I'm logging out
of
chat.
All right. Well, I'll ask her and see what happens. Who knows? She probably has already tried it.
All right. I'll talk to you in a bit, sir. I'm out.
All right.
Good show. Okay. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. If you're in the area, go try a Sheetz, I guess. We'll see you next week for more Paragon Radio. Have a good night. And in closing, go ahead. Say it.
Say good night, Gracie.